Come on. You hear me now? Hey, there we go. All right. Thank you, Wesley. Thank you, youth, this morning for all your help. If you didn't know, today is Youth Sunday, and so pretty much the fifth Sunday. Well, let me rephrase that. If there's a month that has a fifth Sunday, it's Youth Sunday. And so we're blessed to have youth students that are willing to fight their nerves a little bit and get up in front of y'all and do some things. So it's great to have them. Today, by chance, we're actually talking about the spiritual discipline of serving others, and serving others for the purpose of godliness. We've been going through this series the last several weeks, and it's all about the purpose of godliness. That. So. Wow. Weird how your emotions all of a sudden sneak up on you sometimes. Today was my dad's birthday. And, you're not aware, we lost him about almost a year ago. He had a servant's heart. For whatever reason, it just hit me all of a sudden. Thank you for that. Appreciate that. So we've been studying spiritual disciplines. Today is a service, or serving for the purpose of godliness. And we've been going over different things that we can do throughout the last few weeks about the purpose of godliness. We've been going through a book. It's got many different topics, and today is service. So when we think about those things, society tries to paint a picture of when we think of service, we think of, I'm going to serve myself. My own wants, I'm number one. Go get yours, go do you, is what society paints the picture of. They market that way, they advertise that way, they promote that way of thinking. Well, godliness is the exact opposite of that. It's woe to me, put me in the back, and how can I serve you? How can I serve a risen Savior? And so today we're going to be talking about that. And I want to ask you guys a very serious question this morning, so get ready. Who's hungry? Go ahead, raise your hand. Who's hungry? Yep. Who of us out there have already started thinking about where am I going to eat after service? There you go. I see a couple. Yep. And so hunger is something that you can relate to service, believe it or not. So follow with me for a minute. Whenever we are hungry, do you want to fill that need? Yeah. I mean, we're already thinking about eating right now. You're like, come on, Mark, let's go. Hurry up. I want to go eat. And so we want to serve our own need for nourishment or food. We want to do that. And at certain points, we get so hungry, that's all we can focus on. Yesterday, for instance, we were gone for a few hours, and our children had a very long time where they couldn't eat. It was like 5 hours. And we didn't plan on this taking that long, and so we didn't feed them before we went. Yeah, we're terrible parents. Yeah, we were totally unprepared. And so they were starving to death. I mean, if you've ever had a 7 or 11-year-old, they are just starving, right? I mean, you were super hungry. And that's all they could think about was, I need to eat, I need to eat, I need to eat, I need to eat. I was thinking the same thing, I need to eat too. Our desire to serve that hunger can consume us. What if our desire to serve others and to serve God consumed us? Where all we were thinking about is, I want to serve. I want to give to somebody. I want to help my brother out. I want to help my sister out. I want to serve Christ, where it is just consuming us and it is gut-wrenching, where we want to do it so bad. That is what serving for the purpose of godliness is all about. And so I'm going to back up a little bit. About a month ago, we had what we call Project Parkersburg, and that's where we get the youth together, and we do service projects. And so we had several different things. We had some around the church. You can see here, there's a lot of young folks with able backs picking weeds out of the flower beds out front. Here's another one we were cleaning up over in the Havoc House. We had some kitchen helpers there, and let me tell you, those ladies can clean. They did a fantastic job. And here's another crew in the living room area of the Havoc House getting everything cleaned up. Another great bunch of gals that did awesome there. I think there's a couple guys in the back too. And there's our crew outside. They were cleaning some gutters and downspouts and raking leaves and so forth. And here we went to a fellow church member's house, and you see that landscaping area. Whenever we got there, you couldn't see any dirt because of all the weeds. And we were able to spend most of the morning there picking weeds and just serving others, giving back to our community. And so whenever you get a bunch of youth students together, I try to get action shots like this to show that they were actually working, and they really were. They worked hard. Here's always a few goofy pictures. So I don't know how well you can see that up on the screen, but they are in their natural element there for sure. Here we replace the backs and seats of all the chairs in the fellowship hall. So next time you go in the fellowship hall, if the chair breaks down, don't look at me. All right? But they put new screws in a lot of those. They replace some of the pads where they've gotten too dirty or too torn up. And then after Project Parkersburg, we thought it would be smart to do an all-night lock-in. Whew. So here's a couple pictures of the all-night lock-in. And so whenever we do an all-night lock-in, we don't let them stop. I have a schedule that starts at 6 p.m., and we do not stop until 8 a.m. the next morning. And it's just go, 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 go. You're going to make me be up all night? By golly, you're going to run. Let's go. Right. And so you can see here we were making team flags, and you can see Pastor Kyle there in the background. He was intense, all right? Let me tell you what. That dude was intense. He loved it. He ate it up. Here's another picture of the group getting ready to do team flags and get some stuff put together. And we always have to have a couple goofy pictures. So that's one of our chaperones, Jared. I don't know what you call those things, but he made himself some little Martian antennas there. And then my personal favorite, we were traveling to Sweet Frog, or maybe coming back from picking weeds somewhere, and my daughter's booster seat is in the chair back there, and you can see one of our youth students sat in the chair and decided to take a little nap. I'm glad you're here today. It was a great few days. What was really cool about it was we got to serve. We got to do things. And we got to do them together as a group. Yeah, we had fun. We goofed off, of course. But we got to do things. We're able to serve others around us. And so if you have a Bible with you this morning or an app or whatever, please follow along. We're going to be in John chapter 13. And as we were doing Project Parkersburg, every morning we would start with a scripture. And our focus verse for that week was John chapter 13. And we would study God's word and go through it. And I'm going to share some of those things with us this morning. But if you have a Bible, turn to John chapter 13. It'll be verses 1 through 17. He says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come back from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, 'Lord, do you wash my feet?' Jesus answered, 'What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand.' Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' Jesus answered him, 'If I do not wash you, you have no share with me.' Simon Peter said to him, 'Lord, not my feet, but also my hands and my head.' Jesus said to him, 'The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, 'Not all of you are clean.' When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, 'Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.'" Bow with me as we pray. Father God, we again just thank you for this opportunity to be here this morning. We thank you for the chance to study your word. Lord, I just ask that you would fill this room with your Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Open our ears to hear and receive your word. And whatever it is on our heart, just make us to respond to that call. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your son's name, amen. All right, so before we get into this too much, what is the definition of service? If you can think of it, what would you define service to be? If we're going to understand how we are to serve, why we're to serve, where we're supposed to serve, first we must know the definition of service. So I went to old Mr. Google, and the dictionary.com says the action of helping or doing work for someone. That is what they define service as. So I shared with you during Project Parkersburg, we studied these scriptures in the mornings, and I asked our students the same question: how would you define service? And I actually had them come up with their own genuine definition of service. I think it's worth sharing with you today. Sacrificing your own wants, needs, and time to help someone else with the intent of glorifying God and showing his love. I don't know about you, but I think that ought to be in dictionary.com. You know? I mean, that's pretty good, right? So good job, students. They came up with that. I just asked the question, and they just started rolling. I was like, oh, keep going. All right, let's go. And so the definition was developed by them. And so the main point of Project Perkersburg was to serve others and to spend time serving others. And I think they did a great job of doing that. All right, so why are we called to serve? A simple answer, because we are called to imitate Christ. And Christ came to serve others, not to be served. So if we want to draw closer to God, if we want to show the light of Christ to those around us, show the light of Christ in a world full of darkness, then we must develop a servant's heart and a servant's attitude. Instead of thinking, what's in it for me, we ought to think, how can I help or serve others around me? And so how important is this whole idea of service in the eyes of Christ? If you look at our text today, I think it's pretty clear it was very important to Christ. And so Jesus knew the timing, but he made a point to demonstrate servanthood. These are in verses 1 through 5. So if you take a look at the context of the scripture this morning, Jesus knew what was about to happen. He knew what was going on. He knew that it was about to be time for him to be sacrificed for our sins. He knew that Judas was about to betray him. And during that time, he could have chosen to do anything. He could have said, you know what, peace out, I'm out for a little while. I'm going to go enjoy some me time to myself before I die. Or he could have, you name it, he could have done it. But he knew the importance of demonstrating and showing servanthood, that he took time to teach his disciples about service. And so I believe that it is very important to Christ, and likewise it should be very important to us to understand the meaning of servanthood, but also to act out servanthood in our daily lives and all that we do. So we can also choose to serve just like Christ chose to serve. So our nature is to reject servanthood, but God will change our hearts. Look at verses 6 through 11 in your scripture this morning. So Peter, at first, he tried to reject the service that God was trying, that Christ was trying to give him. He's like, do not wash my feet. No. Don't do that. Peter understood, and the disciples understood, that normally people that washed others' feet, that was kind of for the I don't want to say the low level, but the, what's the right term? It was not a high-ranking job to do this, okay? And so godly people, the king would not go down that and wash people's feet. That was below him. He wouldn't do that. And so Peter was rejecting that, saying, no, this is above you or below you, Christ. You don't need to do that. Do not wash my feet. I am not worthy to receive you washing my feet. It was a job for the lowest of lows, not a job for a king. Well, we, like Peter, can have a tendency to reject servanthood. But just like Peter, God can and will change our hearts if we are just willing to listen and understand. For instance, I am terrible at asking people for help. I am. I got an amen. All right. I am. I would rather just struggle and get it done myself. It's a sense of I don't want to burden somebody else. I don't want to bother them. I know how busy everyone is and everything else going on, that I don't want to put something on somebody else. You can look at these scriptures in one aspect and understand that it was a blessing for them to be able to do that service. Sometimes we need to allow other people to help us out, right? And it can be a blessing to those who serve. If you go through with the right attitude and you allow God to fill you with his spirit and you serve with the purpose of godliness, you will end up being the one blessed, not the person that you're trying to help. But you, as the person helping yourself, will be the one blessed. And so God can change our hearts and allow us to understand the meaning and the depth of helping others. And it's not just for a servant, but it can be also for kings. It can be for everyone. Everyone needs to have a servant heart. Jesus also gives us an example of servanthood to follow. This is in verses 12 through 17. So we are to seek after Christ. We are to imitate Christ. And so if Jesus was willing to wash the feet of others around him, then we should be able to do that. Now, you also got to take into context the timing. They didn't have cowboy boots. They didn't have Nikes back then. They didn't have whatever shoe you're wearing. The roads weren't paved. Might have been in better shape than some of our roads, but they weren't paved. They were dirt roads. So your feet would get pretty bad. They'd get pretty dirty. Jesus was willing to get dirty and to do whatever it took to serve those around him. What kind of position are we in whenever somebody asks us to do something to help them? Maybe it's out of our comfort zone. It's out of what we normally do. Like, I normally don't do that. Maybe somebody else can help you. Or, brother, let me pray about it first. That's always the answer we get. Well, let me pray about it first, and I'll let you know if I'm willing to help. Jesus didn't say that either. He didn't say, well, this job is not for me. It's not in my comfort zone. He didn't say, well, let me talk to Father God first. He took the opportunity, and he served. And we are to imitate Christ, so we, too, need to take the opportunity to serve. Look at Mark chapter 10, verse 45. It said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So what is our motivation to serve? Why do we choose to serve others? Is it for self-gratification? Hey, look what I did. Huh? Yeah, you see what I did earlier? I helped Joe Schmo out. Yep, that was all me. Is it for some sort of benefit? Is it for pride? Is it for arrogance? Is it for expecting something in return? Say, if we think about it, we're all guilty of those answers from time to time. We serve with the aspect of hoping that they will help us back. Or we serve with the hope that we'll get something out of this. Or we serve with the hope of, see my name up on the wall, of doing this or that. What did Jesus, why did he serve? And how should we serve? What should motivate us to serve? We should serve out of love. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And so when we love somebody, we want to serve them. We want to do whatever we can for them. Just the other day, my wife Amber was talking to our children, and she said she would literally do anything for them to help them out. As a father, I can relate to that. I would do anything for my children. As a husband, I can also relate. I would do anything for my wife. And so whenever we like the person, when we love the person, we want to serve them. What about the people that we maybe don't really like? Kind of get under our skin a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? What about those? Do we serve those? Yeah, I'll serve them to get my name on a wall, or I'll serve them because I know that they're really good at this other job, and there's going to be a time whenever I need their help. So, I'm helping you. I want you to help me back later. Or do we serve them out of love? When we love, we serve. When we serve, we love. It's both ways. So we're not able to pick and choose. Christ chose to die for everyone. He chose to die for the men that were nailing him to the cross. He died for them too. Just as he died for me, and just as he died for you. And so his love was portrayed to everyone, and our service through love should be portrayed to everyone. So we should imitate Christ and his love, and we should serve everyone out of love. So what's another reason why we serve? We serve out of gratitude. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 says, "Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. For consider what great things he has done for you." Have you ever been thankful for something or someone that has done something in your life that you want to repay them back? Maybe you want to take them to dinner. Maybe you want to get them a gift card, maybe a thank you card, or maybe you're looking for the opportunity to repay them with another project. Whenever somebody does something for us, naturally, we want to do something back to help them out down the road. Well, what did Jesus Christ do for us? Everything, literally everything. And so out of a gratitude for the gift that he gave us of eternal life, we should also want to serve him because he has given us so much more. And 1 Samuel 12, 24 says that, "For what great things he has done for you." We should want to return that in our attitude of service, but also in our service of what we do. And then finally, we serve out of humility. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 9. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." So if you have your Bibles or if you're writing down scriptures, I like to mark up in a Bible. I would circle or underline the word nothing. What are you to do out of selfish ambition or conceit? Nothing. Not a thing. "But in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. And being found in human form, he humbled himself." He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. "Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name." Also, look at Luke 22, verses 24 to 27. "A dispute also arose among them as to which one of them was regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, 'The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, let the greatest among you become as the youngest, and the leader as one who serves. For who is the greater, one who reclines at the table or one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table, but I among you as the one who serves?'" And so if we want to be counted as the greatest, we need to have a servant's heart. It's not for kings. It's not for a position of authority. It's save for those who serve and serve the Lord. And so I did another little task on our Project Parkersburg. We read these scriptures, and then I asked the students to define humility. Again, I think it's worth sharing. They said, "To lower oneself in service without the intent of self-glorification." Lower oneself in service without the intent of self-glorification. Again, I think that needs to be in dictionary.com. So what is the need in front of you today? Not what are you planning to do next week, or what do you plan to volunteer in 2 weeks from now, or what you signed up for. Jesus had a huge thing coming up, right? He was going to be crucified. He was going to die for all of our sins. He knew that this was coming up. He knew he was going to have an opportunity to serve in just a couple days. Because of that, did he just sit back and relax and say, "You know what, I'm going to serve in a couple days. I'm good for right now. I'm going to take some me time." Well, no, he knew what was happening. He knew the need. So he took advantage of it and he served. And so what is the need in front of you today? You know, we were talking in youth this morning about having an attitude of prayer and a mindset of on God all the time. Because we're talking about peer pressure. And we can easily give in to peer pressure because we want to fit in. We want to be cool. We want to be like our friends. We want to have nice friends and be part of the crowd. But in that, we are rejecting God in that process. Same thing. We need to be looking for opportunities to serve. If we just sit back and think, well, opportunities will come to me. They'll ask. They'll need something. They'll come to me. I'm just going to chill for a while. It'll happen. We need to have that mentality to be looking for opportunities to serve. We are called to look for opportunities to serve now, in the future, and every day. So how will you imitate Christ and bring glory to God? Well, Jesus used a basin to wash the disciples' feet. But there was another basin used shortly after that. When Pontius Pilate was going to release Jesus to them, the people were screaming, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." Pilate's reaction was to take a basin of water and wash his hands clean of that situation. We all have a basin of water in front of us today, and we have two choices of how we handle it. We can take the water, the basin of water, and we can say, "I wash my hands of this. I don't want to have anything to do with it. I don't have anything to do with this kind of being a disciple or anything that means." Or we can take that basin of water and we can kneel like our Heavenly Father did, and we can serve others around us. The question is yours. It's up for you. The decision is yours. We can serve just like Jesus, or we can wash our hands clean of the situation. This book that we've been studying and going over is authored by Donald Whitney. He has a quote that I'd like to say to you. "Any true Christian would say he or she wants to obey God, but we disobey God when we do not actively serve him. We sin when we refuse to serve God." So what's the opportunity in front of you today, church? You know, we can think about this idea of servanthood, and we can think, well, you know, society really needs this. I mean, the world is in a bad spot right now. You know, it's all me, not thinking about how they can serve. So the world really needs to do that. And you're right. But how different would our church be if we all had that mentality of, "I want to serve God just as bad as I want to go out to eat here in just a couple minutes"? Right? We were actively seeking opportunities to serve. How different would our church be? There's a general rule that 20% of the church does 80% of the work. We just annihilated that. 100% of the church body use their God gift and talents to bring glory to God. It's not to bring glory to Fairlawn Baptist Church building. This is just a building. We are the church. God has gifted us with so many different things specifically intended for you, specifically intended for you and for me. And he commands us and expects us to use those talents to bring glory to him. The choice is ours. It doesn't matter how young you are or how old you are, Brother Fred. We can all serve God. There's no more excuses, folks. We can all serve God. We are all called to serve God. My prayer and my hope is for us as a church body to be actively looking for those opportunities, to be actively pursuing and seeking after Christ. Plenty of opportunities out there. Don't wait on somebody to come ask you. Go find them. So choose to follow Christ and choose to serve. This morning, as the band comes back up, we're going to have a time of invitation, and I want to first just challenge you about service. I guarantee you God has gifted you with a talent. I don't know what the talent may be, but he's gifted you with something. And he wants you to use that God gift and talent to bring glory to God. And so whatever he's put on your heart, you know what I'm talking about. I don't have to name drop you. I don't have to call you out. Every single person here knows what I'm talking about. God has called you, and he's laid something on your heart. Please respond. Please don't just push it to the side. We are to be the light of Christ to a dying world. We're not called to be sitters. We're called to be servers. And so if there's an opportunity that you've been thinking about, if there's a need that God has laid on your heart, come down this morning and pray about it. If you're thinking, you know what, I've never really experienced this whole Christ thing, come down this morning. We'd love to talk to you about Christ. We'd love to share with you how accepting Christ can change your life. I don't know about you, but I don't want to spend an eternity in hell. I want to go to heaven. I want every single one of you out there to be there with me. So if there's a need, or you just want to pray, or if there's something laying on your heart, please respond this morning. These steps are an altar, and we'll be down here with you. So bow with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we again just thank you for this opportunity to be in your house. Lord, we thank you for the scriptures that you've given us. Lord, you have called us to actively seek after you, to actively serve you, and to do it with the mentality of love, humility, and gratitude. Lord, I know there's been times where I haven't done that well. And I know there's going to be other opportunities for all of us in the future. Lord, I just ask that you would place those burdens on our hearts this morning and allow us to respond to that. Lord, if there's another need here for salvation or just to talk, Lord, I ask that you would just give them the courage to step out. Come down this morning and to pray to you. Lord, we are just thankful for the service that you provided us. We're thankful for your Holy Spirit. We're thankful for your Son. Lord, we love you and we praise you. In your Son's name, amen.
You would stand. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. My cross I'll carry till I see Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Amen. Absolutely. I've gotten the opportunity to read this book along with Pastor Kyle and Mark and Pastor Mark. And it is very challenging. And this whole service section was an amazing chapter. And hopefully, I'm telling you, God's got a purpose for each one of us here. And if you have not found what that purpose is, God's got something for you other than to take a spot in that pew each Sunday morning. So just pray that God would lead you and direct you to that. And I'll tell you what, our youth are pretty deep, aren't they? I'm telling you, we need to listen to them a little bit more. And speaking of youth, the dude behind me, this is his last Sunday with us before he heads off for college. Aww.
You'll never get rid of me.
I don't even know where to go with that, brother. Anyway, I know he's not the only one. There are several that will be heading off over this next couple weeks. And some of them, new experiences, new chapters in their life. Some of them continuing their education. But I thought it'd be appropriate for us to end service this morning with a prayer for them as they get ready. And you know what? Parents and grandparents too, right? There's some of these manuals that you have in parenting that it doesn't say when they leave for college that they may never come back. And that's what happened to us. We got caught off guard and she was gone. You know, God's got a plan for these guys. And they're going to hit challenges on their own and be standing on their own for the first time. And so I made a mistake. I looked. I want you all to know, I know you're here with me, but you all that aren't here with us today, and maybe we'll see this later on, that you guys are going to be in our prayers. We pray that God will strengthen you in the areas where he is going to take you, and that he will use you where you're at, and that you will be sensitive to the leading of his Spirit over these next 4 or 5 years, whatever it takes, to get you to where he wants you. So we're going to pray for them, and that will be, and then they are going to sing you out. I brought this up here for you. Aren't you glad? So anyway, and do remember these guys in prayer. This is not easy. This is the first time, like I said, that they're going to be standing on their own and having to come up with some stuff on their own. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for our service today. And Father, looking how we can serve you, but Father, also always putting ourselves second, third, Father, wherever we need to be in this track for us to serve you and serve fellow believers, and Father, those who don't believe, that we can be a witness to them during that time. And Father, we just thank you for your word, and Father, we just pray that as we leave this place today, that we can be better servants for you. Father, our college-age kids that are getting ready to head off, Father, we pray for them. Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we've had to watch them grow. And Father, as we've been able to pour into their lives, and Father, as they get ready to go out on their own, and Father, as they get ready to serve you in a different area, whether they're going away to college or, Father, even if they're staying here, Lord, it will be different. And so we pray that you would direct them. Father, we pray that you would help them to get involved with groups that are around that will support them in their Christian walk. And Father, that you would just be able to use them. And Father, we just pray that as they seek your will in their lives, Father, that you would just continue to guide them in the footsteps that you have for them. Father, we thank you once again for them. And Lord, we look forward to the day when they come back to us. And Father, we look forward to seeing what you are going to do in their lives. So Father, bless them, bless us as we get ready to go. And Father, as always, help us to be ministers and servants for you wherever you place us, and help us to be that light that a lost and dying world needs to see. Thank you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.